All right, welcome to the show. Next 4 hours with Steinberg, Nolte, and Logo. We've got game five of the Islanders and the Lightning coming your way at 6 o'clock. Series all tied 2-2. So who will end up being a game away from advancing to the Stanley Cup final? We will find out tonight as we welcome you to the program. Good weekend, Will. Everything go according to plans? 250
yeah, it was great.
Kilometers in on the bike and run combined?
No.
What's an average?
Zero, actually.
Really? Good.
Yeah, I was at a bachelor party on Saturday, and I was very hungover yesterday.
Oh,
so.
Boy.
Yeah, none.
When's the last time you got that crushed?
It's been a long time. Probably explains why the hangover is so bad.
Still feeling it today? Or are you good now?
What's that?
You still feeling it today? Or are you good now?
No, I'm good. I just did 9K this morning, so we're good.
Okay. All right. So now you've worked it all out, sweated it all out. What's the average bike ride for you these days? About 35 clicks, 50 clicks? What's as you're ran? Because you got to do 90 for the Ironman, right?
I'm going to have to start cranking it up here.
What's the Ironman? 90?
94.
94. Insane.
And then a half marathon right after.
Yeah, you know, just to swim your 60 kilometers. I know it's, what, three kilometers, your half marathon, and then, of course, you have to work in that bike ride as well. So, Will is in good shape for the week. That is good to hear. And before we get to what's happening on the ice, before we get to what's happening around the league, there's lots to get into from the weekend. We have got something to give away. We're going to kick off the show in style because we've been running our Paradise Bay Here Comes Summer contest the last 2 weeks, and we've been asking for you to text in when you hear the cue to text, and whenever you hear a classic play-by-play call, we have asked from you for the two teams, the date, and your first and last name. Every time you did that, you were entered into the grand prize draw, which is one of three outstanding products from Paradise Bay. So our winner is Doug. We're going to call him in a second, but first, this is the clip that he heard. This is the cue to text that he ended up winning on.
In the second period, I'm Steve Bozak.
April 30th, 1986, Flames and Oilers, Steve Smith into his own goal, the greatest goal Perry Barazan will ever score. Let's give Doug a call right now because Doug is our grand prize winner. So let's pop the dial tone on the air. Let's do the old radio trick and give Doug a call. So he has got the choice of... I can hear the dial tone in my ear, but I don't think it's going on the air. Anyway, we'll figure it out. We'll give Doug a call. So Doug, there we go, has the opportunity to win a Sabre gas grill, an Enclover propane natural gas fire pit, or a Treasure Garden 13-foot cantilever umbrella. Let's see what he ends up deciding. I believe that they tried Doug on the morning show, but he's a pretty busy gentleman. So we'll see if we get him on the afternoon show for our grand prize draw. See if he picks up or not. Feel like I'm on FM radio.
Hi.
Doug.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not too much.
It's Steinberg and Nolte on the big show. How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well, and I don't know if you were just listening, but okay, so then we've already given it away.
So, Doug, I need you to enter your credit card number followed by the pound key. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, we'll do. No.
Doug, congratulations. You're a grand prize winner for the Paradise Bay Here Comes Summer contest.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Right on. That's great news.
Well, so it was very easy to do. You just had to text in the two teams, the date, yeah, and your first and last name. Lots of people didn't hit all the criteria. You hit all the criteria, entered into our grand prize draw, and you were randomly selected. So now, the moment of truth, Doug, you have got to choose.
Well, hang on, Pat. Yeah. Doug, how many days did you enter?
Say that again, sorry?
How many times did you hear the clip? How many days did you enter? Was it just the one time?
I believe on that clip I entered twice.
Oh,
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
see, this is your evidence
all takes,
that it
guys.
Truly is random, and we do truly just choose one name out of all our entries. So, congratulations, Doug. And now here is your moment of truth. You've got your choice between one of three outstanding Paradise Bay Leisure products. You have the Sabre Gas Grill. You've got the Enclover Propane Natural Gas Fire Pit, which comes included with cover and wind glass, or you've got the Treasure Garden 13-foot cantilever umbrella. One of these three is going to make your backyard, so which way are you going, Doug?
I'm going to the propane.
You're going with the fire pit?
Yeah.
Outstanding. Hey, I'll say this. A fire pit makes a backyard. You have made an outstanding choice, Doug. And now now this means you have to invite people over during the summer.
That's right.
Okay, hey, we can hang out in backyards again. And July 1st, we're all good to go. So now you have to be the talk of the neighborhood. You don't have any choice now that you've won this.
Awesome. That sounds great. Thank you, guys. That's awesome.
Hey, Doug, congratulations. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your brand-new Enclover Propane Natural Gas Fire Pit for the summertime from Paradise Bay.
Will do, guys. Thank you so much.
Awesome stuff from Doug. He is our grand prize winner, and thanks so much to our friends at Paradise Bay throughout this entire promotion. 2 weeks, so many entries. Thank you, everyone, for entering. Congratulations to Doug, and go check out our friends at Paradise Bay Leisure Products at goparadisebay.com. So Doug is our winner, and we will be doing more with Paradise Bay as the year goes along. Let's
Now, Pat, you do have a fire pit. It's excellent, right? You fire that up every day.
Well, and this one is probably about 2-3 times the size of mine. I've got one that is.
You cannot fit that on your balcony, but
if I were to try to fit that on my balcony, you couldn't sit there. It would just be a fire pit. And that's, I've got a decent sized balcony. I can fit a small fire pit or fire table. I can fit a barbecue and some seating. But yeah, if you were to put one of the big ones there, it wouldn't necessarily work. This will be great for a backyard. And by the way, they do make an outdoor space, whether it's a deck or a patio or a backyard. They are outstanding. So I want to bounce this off, you will, because and Logo, jump in on this too, because I'm fascinated where everybody is on this discussion with the NHL postseason well underway. Like, officiating has all of a sudden turned into the biggest topic. Over the weekend, if you popped on Twitter for more than 5 seconds during one of the two games, or one of the three games, Friday's Vegas game, Sunday's Vegas-Montreal game, or the Islanders-Tampa game on Saturday, all you saw was people absolutely dragging officials. And we talked a little bit about this, I want to say, after game two between Vegas and Colorado in the second round, because at that point, to me, it had been noticeably bad. But I also wondered if I was just being a victim of recency bias. We talked about it for a couple of minutes and moved on. Well, people still aren't happy about it. Now we're into the Final Four. Now there's more eyeballs on only two games and two series going on. And well, I do. I think officiating has been horrible, consistently really bad throughout the postseason, and some of the worst that I can remember. But that, and now I'm seeing it as maybe the number one NHL topic in the third round of this postseason. But what about you? Has this been awful officiating, or is it just the loudest the complaining has ever been?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's a conversation every year. I can't gauge if this year's louder than last year, but it certainly is every single playoff anyways, a big topic of discussion. And maybe for this year, Pat, it seems louder because for the first time in, a handful of years, we've got a Canadian team in the Final Four. So I think that probably does play into it a little bit for us.
Could Logo?
I think it's been more noticeable than ever this year. I think that we understand as hockey fans the standard changes between regular season and postseason, but it just doesn't seem to hold any sort of consistent level even with the standard change. I think it's just more noticeable because it's been so egregiously bad. It's been so noticeable.
It's just
like it's every game.
I always am like, and when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Will, kind of the one thing we said is like, well, we're just so used to it. You know, what's the point of complaining about it? The only reason I bring it up, I would not have brought it up myself. I'm just, at this point, it's like, yeah, whatever, it is what it is. But like, we're seeing prominent analysts, whether it be Pierre LeBrun or Engels or people in Vegas, like everybody is talking about it. And maybe it does have something to do with the fact that Montreal's in the Final Four, and that's a massive market and a massive Canadian market playing. Like, I think that you're bang on. That absolutely has something to do with it. I can't remember it being this loud a conversation. And look, Twitter's an echo chamber at the best of times, so that probably plays into it too. It's just, that's been my biggest takeaway. It's less, I think the officiating's been bad, but I don't know, Will. I don't know if it's worse than what we saw last year or the year before. All I know is that people are talking about it and ripping it more.
Yeah, it's hard to measure, and I just think it, and to Logan's point, I think there's just more people talking about it. I wonder too, guys, how much the pandemic plays into it, and the fact that everybody's for the longest time, like, what else are you doing? You're watching hockey, right? I mean, in normal circumstances, people are traveling for early summer vacations. They are doing other things, whether that be hanging out at bars or hanging out with their buddies. I feel like that's probably playing into it a little bit too. But it certainly is something where I just don't know how you change it or what you do. Like, because you're going to have to go through an adjustment period regardless, right? And maybe that's what has to happen. And maybe we hate playoff hockey next year because of that adjustment. But there's a lot of penalties that, you know, are clear cut penalties that just aren't being called. And I thought Kevin Bieksa made a great point on the panel last night, Pat, and the fact that, you know, and again, this is unique also in the fact that not very often do you see the same two officials officiate back to back games in the same playoff series. Yep. But because of the border, because of the travel restrictions, you know, Chris Lee and his partner, they had to be both at game 3 and game 4 for Montreal. Yes, they've got an alternate on site, but he probably isn't approved or qualified by the NHL to officiate a Final Four game unless there is an absolute emergency. So I think that played into it a little bit too, in terms of the fact of what you saw to begin the game last night. And that all stems from the missed high stick on Corey Perry in game 3. They maybe thought, oh, let's just not call anything here because we missed an egregious one at a very important time at the end of game 3.
See, and I think people understand that officials miss calls. It's just the ongoing, everything seems to be missed. And then one gets called and you're like, how is that one? So you didn't see everything before this and now that. And the problem that I have in dunking on the individual officials, like you mentioned Chris Lee's name, and that guy was trending on Twitter last night. But the problem I have when dunking on the individual officials, not even a problem, but the hesitation I have, is that I wonder how much of a mandate this is from on high. Like, how much are they told? And the NHL will never admit it. But how much does Colin Campbell, how much does the director of officiating and the league itself say, no, standard changes, we want this as opposed to that? I don't know the answer, but maybe it's a tinfoil hat.
You're talking about names trending on Twitter. How many years do we call for Colin Campbell's job, it feels like? Does it not?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
And if you're going to get change, it has to start there.
And he's such an old school guy. Whether that's good or bad, like, this,
he probably loves what he's seeing.
Exactly. This is what it was like in the 1960s and the 1970s. I don't know. It's just when it is this loud of a conversation, whether it's warranted or not, and I think that it is warranted. I do. I think it's a bad look for the NHL. I wonder how things change even starting tonight after. And maybe it doesn't. Maybe they just continue to call things the way they have. But it's just been under a much larger microscope and in a much bigger spotlight, especially over the weekend. I found that very, very noticeable. So we have game 5, Lightning and Islanders at 6:00 right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll get to that game in a second. But first, how about Robin Lehner last night? He was unbelievable. I thought best player on the ice. Nicholas Waugh scores the overtime winner. Vegas ties the series 2 games apiece. What a weird swap in those 2 games in Montreal. No way Montreal should have won game 3. No way Vegas should have won game 4. And yet it swaps the other way around. Montreal steals game 3. Vegas steals game 4. And Lehner, a huge reason why Vegas was able to do that. He gets the start. And how about this from Robin Lehner post game last night?
Not many people know, you know, I come to the game 4 hours early. I get up my own bus, come 4 hours early. I sat for 2 hours and watch you guys talk on Twitter on me, you know, to get me motivated. And, you know, it was great, you know, just see all what you guys had to say. And, you know, it's been a weird, kind of a weird season with a concussion and my surgery and stuff like that. But, you know, I've been battling hard lately to, you know, just be a good teammate and being as good as possible. And, you know, I don't really, it's a great motivation for me. I don't do the flashiest saves and all those things, but, you know, before this season, ever since I got out of rehab and even before that in Buffalo, I've been putting up some pretty good numbers. And people act like what they, that I'm not very good, especially in our own town. But, you know, I had a lot from the team, my teammates and my coaches, and me and Flower has gotten really close this year, you know, supporting each other, and we don't care about the noise. So it's just great motivation for me. It was very enjoyable on Twitter today. And thank you guys very much for giving me that motivation.
First of all, more Robin Lehner post game. That's awesome. The fact that
is an eye rolling clip. My goodness.
You don't like it? I love it because
that's what you need to motivate you. Are you serious?
I love that he's willing to just come out.
In a Stanley Cup semifinal, you're going on Twitter to see what? Oh my God.
Hey, if I
what was me, Robin Lehner? Oof.
I love the guy coming out and admitting that that stuff fuels him, as opposed to the same old.
Well, I get that it fuels everybody.
Read what we don't write, but he's admitting it. I love that. Nobody admits that they care what other people think.
Yeah, I don't really. If that's what you need to motivate you in a Stanley Cup semifinal, I don't know. It just seems a bit odd to me. And yeah, I don't know. He played really, really well. And I think it was a very ballsy move by DeBoer. But I guess I'm not in love with that clip as much as you. But hey, it's interesting for him to come out and admit it for sure.
I love anybody giving us something different than the. Yeah, we played well. It was good. Guys blocked a lot of shots in front of me. And, you know, I don't care what people think. And I love me and Flower got a great relationship and team's confident in both of us. And so a big win for the boys. Like, that to me is like, give me more Robin Lehner post game. Give me more of guys ripping on officials. And like we were talking about Bruce Cassidy and, you know, when he was criticizing the, give me more New York Saints, give me more personality in post game. Like it actually gives us something to talk about, and, you know, whether that's what he needs to motivate himself or not. I'm not a professional athlete. I don't know what motivates each guy, but if that's what fires up Robin Lehner and getting there and reading Twitter and seeing what people are saying, and that's what fires you up. And that goes out and helps you play like that. Well, you might as well do it for game five as well, because they could use you. What did you think? Here's Peter DeBoer, head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, on the decision to go with Lehner. Was it controversial? Was it a risky, difficult call, Pete?
The gamble to play him, having not played a lot lately, was, you know, no bigger than the gamble of playing a fatigue, in my mind, goalie, you know, with no rust really on the horizon.
I love the call. We didn't have a show yesterday, so we couldn't talk about it, but I love the call when it started trending that way yesterday morning, and then at 5:30 when Lehner led the Golden Knights out for warm-up, I was like, man, if you've got two goalies, play them. If you've got two number ones, and Vegas does, and you've got DeBoer talking about a fatigue goalie, Fleury's been a little shaky for me the last two losses. The rebounds have been in bad spots. And so if you've got the confidence in two guys and you feel like Fleury is starting to fluctuate a little bit, you're down in a series, you maybe need a bit of a shot in the arm for your group. I thought it was a ballsy call. I loved it. And Lehner went out and proved Peter DeBoer right. What did you make of the call from last night in Montreal?
Oh, extremely ballsy. You heard it right there in his clip. I mean, as good as you're, you know, to your point, if you think you have two number ones, yeah, that may be true. But still, as good as the goalie is, when you don't play for a long, long time, and he hadn't played since game one against the Avalanche, and he was lit up in that contest. Yeah, that takes some balls. And I thought it was a great call in terms of trying to maybe spark your team a little bit, because, you know, really in the grand scheme of things, Pat, you look at this series over four games,
Montreal has been the better team 3 out of 4 games. So, you know, your team needed something. And to your point, you know, whether that, you know, for me, if your team looks shaky, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, I'm with you. I don't think he looked all that sharp in the last couple of games. And I think some of that is fatigue. I know Pete DeBoer in that same press conference had mentioned that, you know, his team had played with last night, you know, 17 games in about 33, 34 nights. It's a lot of hockey. Mm-hmm. And that certainly can weigh in terms of fatigue, especially when for a majority of that, it has been one goaltender in the net. So extremely, extremely brave to make that call. And, you know, as good as your goalie is, when you haven't played in a while, there's always that chance for rust. But he was lights out. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he was outstanding. Now we got
Chris. And now.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, and now you, I don't think you can go back to Fleury.
Well, and that's, so you, we've got Versteeg coming up in the next segment. I know you're going to ask him about that, and I'm curious what Chris has to say about which way you go, but yeah, what, like, you're almost, and I think going back to Lehner is the right call. You know, hopefully we don't get swords through Marc-Andre Fleury's heart on Twitter from Alan Walsh, but I mean, Robin Lehner just went out there and stole you a hockey game in game 4. You have to go back to him for game 5. And if you're, if Fleury is, and I truly believe this, Will, if Fleury is the guy that everybody says he is, the consummate teammate, the pro, the absolute positive force inside that locker room, yeah, it's going to suck not playing game 5, but you're going to have the right attitude and be the type of guy that's okay with that, or at the very least doesn't end up being a distraction or takeaway from what your group is going to do. And I believe Fleury is that guy. If you're confident that that can happen with Fleury, and if you got to go back to him for game 6, if you're Peter DeBoer, that you're confident in doing that too, then yeah, I think you're going with Lehner in game 5. I don't know how you can go away from him the way he played last night.
Well, and especially talking about confidence. And I'm not saying that, you know, Fleury is necessarily this fragile, but you make a gaffe like that in a game, and then the next game you don't get the start from your coach. I just, you can't go back to it. You can't. And so I'd be absolutely stunned if they go back to Fleury in game 5. For me, it's Robin Lehner's net for a little bit here, and we'll see how it goes going forward. But yeah, I just don't see, especially in game 5, with the way that the whole swing went Montreal with, mm-hmm. You know, Fleury and that gaffe and, a tough spot when you don't get a lot of work in that contest, but you go from that gaffe and then you don't get the start the next game. I just can't see if Fleury's head is in the right spot, especially for how pivotal this game 5 is going to be. I just don't think you can go back to him. I'm with you.
The this series has been bonkers. Like, if you go, Natural Stat Trick had high danger scoring chances 17-2 at 5-on-5 for Montreal last night. And You know, you can debate what are and what are not scoring chances, but I thought Montreal did a great job of keeping Vegas to the perimeter. Carey Price was solid when he needed to be, but they end up stealing that one in overtime. But from what I've seen since game 1 of this series from Montreal, like, they've got as good a chance to win this as Vegas does. And I know that we have been dismissive of the Habs throughout this series. I certainly know that I was going into game 3 of the series, even after Montreal tied it at a game apiece. I'm done dismissing Montreal. They have got as good a chance as Vegas does. And specifically what I've seen the last little bit here, what I saw from the Habs last night, you know, they should be up 3-1 in this series if you take what happened prior going into last night. I mean, they stole game 3 to take their first lead. But they were outstanding last night. I thought that was as good a game as you can play while also not getting the result. So at this point, I'm kind of done writing the Habs off. It's tough to, knowing what we've seen from them throughout this series. They've been right there, Will, with Vegas in all 4 games, save for those final 40 or so in game 1.
Yeah, they've been the better team, I think, in 3 of the 4 games. Their first periods have been outstanding. We've talked about their importance to kind of play with the lead, or at least certainly have that momentum early. And I don't know what it is with Vegas and their starts, but that's been a huge swing for me in this series, and a big reason why Montreal is where they are. But I'm with you. All the credit in the world to them, and I'll eat all the crow that is possible, because I was way wrong, and Montreal is playing like a really good hockey team right now, and they are deserving to be in this best of 3 now in the final 3 contests. The only thing that I think is working against them is they have to play 2 on the road possibly, mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm with you. They full credit for being there, and through the first four games, even though the series is tied 2-2, they have been the better team for my money.
Game five of that series tomorrow, back in Vegas, 7 o'clock faceoff. We'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We've got a 2-2 tie heading into game five between Tampa and New York. I do not know what to expect tonight. I don't, in terms of who I think is going to win. I don't have a good feel one way or the other, because this thing has been as even as it comes. Even with New York opening up that 3-0 lead on Saturday, Tampa comes back, and what an unbelievable finish with Ryan McDonagh almost tying it and sending it to overtime. But one guy that, look, I think people in this city are pretty aware of this guy you're about to extol some virtues of, Will. But even still, for you, with the run that he's on right now, with what he did in the bubble, with what he's done since entering this league, do we give enough credit to Tampa's Braden Point?
Probably not. A guy that, you know, just continues to show up in the massive moments. A guy that, you know, I don't think ever gets talked about in terms of even best players on his team. And I think he deserves to be right in that conversation. Him and Kucherov are just straight magic together. And it's just unbelievable to watch what he does. And the man we're going to talk to next, Christopher Stieg, makes a great comparison. I'm curious later in the show, Pat, where you think that comparison lies. But one of the best two-way centers in the game. And it's so much fun to watch him play. And I can't wait to see what the future holds for him. But it's just amazing when you think about all the players in Tampa and how good that team is. I don't think Braden Point gets enough love for potentially being their best player. And that's no disrespect to Kucherov or Hedman or Vasilevsky. But for me, Braden Point deserves to be right in that conversation and even perhaps at the top of that list. He is phenomenal and so much fun to watch. And in the big moments, I know that, you know, you can roll your eyes and have a different opinion on what is clutch and if that's an actual gene or if more people are clutch and someone isn't clutch. But this guy comes up massive or big in massive moments and never fails on the big stage. And I don't think that can be taken away in terms of or taken for granted, because he just continues to prove that no moment is too big for Braden Point.
Agreed. Is there a better forward duo in the NHL? And no knock on Andre Palat. You know, Point and Palat played all regular season together and were a hell of a duo. And now you put Kucherov on that line with them. But is there a better duo on the planet than Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov? Because we talk a lot about duos and when talking about forwards. I don't think there is. I mean, there are some really good ones. I would put Bergeron, Marchand in that same conversation. You might be able to put a couple of others in that same conversation too.
MacKinnon and Rantanen.
Yeah, those two are unbelievable. But I don't think there's a better one than Point and Kucherov. Like that has got to be in the running, no questions asked, is the most elite forward duo on planet Earth right now.
Well, their fans are screaming at you right now, Pat.
Well, but I mean, for most of this year, I know they kind of flip flopped, but again, to your point about what guys do in the postseason, what together or apart, who would you rather have in a postseason series right now? Point and Kucherov or McDavid and Draisaitl? And I know that, oh, that's the stupidest thing you've ever heard. They don't get calls and blah. They don't have enough surrounding them. Doesn't change the fact that I'd still, if you had to tell me right now to win a Stanley Cup in a game seven, who I want on my team, yeah, I'm probably leaning towards Point and Kucherov over McDavid and Draisaitl. And not to say that I wouldn't want those other two guys, but I don't know if there are players on planet Earth, to go back to it, that I'd rather have than Point or Kucherov or Bergeron or Marchand on my team to win a game seven right now. That's how good they are right now. And as Wedley says, the only Pat and Will, maybe those two to win a Stanley Cup. Otherwise, yeah, there's not a lot of other duos that I'd put in there. By the way, are you ready for some good Phil Esposito? He is.
I thought you were going to say you're ready for some football.
Are you ready for some football? Here is Michigan Monday with Phil Esposito prominently featured. We take you back to Saturday's 3-2 Islanders win over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
A quick up Chernak for Cole. God. Mishandled it. And here's Zajac the other way. Left wing Anthony Beauvillier. Cross the blind to Nelson. Makes a move to get open left circle. feeds it, right circle, Bailey, shoot, score!
Knew it. You could see it coming.
Shooting save made, scoring the rebound, Barzal. Barzal was open in front, and the puck came right to him, and he had
wide
an open net.
Wide open.
But the Islanders scored that goal based on the hard work they did winning puck battles probably, what, 10 seconds before the shot was
exactly.
taken by Clutterbuck. Cizikas right circle. He shoots, blocked in front, and the rebound a point. Point will step in front of his own net.
Oh,
he
boy.
Tapped it up the near boards, boy, and it got held boy. In Pellick. Another turnover of the Lightning. Martin, a center point shot over the net. 2:07 left in the period. The Lightning can't clear it. Here's Martin open in front. Backhand shot, he scores.
Even Point has given the puck away. When Point does it, I know there's a problem.
Across the blue line, right circle shot, score! Point!
Let's watch.
Goals in seven straight games now, and he makes it 3-1. Johnson again, left circle. Johnson to the slot, open. Shoots, score! Johnson! 3-2! Boy, the middle of the ice opened up for him. A feeder by McDonough, open. Holds, backhand shot.
Oh, it was saved by Pollock.
The Lightning had a chance there right at the end. The game is over, though. The Islanders hold on for a 3-2 win.
There you go. I told you he was featured prominently.
Was Phil talking about the last clip? He's losing it.
That's a very rhetorical question. What is he telling you?
Holds, backhand shot.
Oh, it was saved by Pollock.
Oh, what a save.
And it was a hell of a save by Pollock. Like, that was ridiculous. Like, for him to slide across and get it like that, and for McDonough to do that, like, if that's most guys, they're just firing that shot. Great opportunity. You know, 50-50 play. Varlamov maybe makes the stop. Maybe you beat him something. But for him to wait, spin, go around the defender, and then for Pollock to have the presence of mind to slide across, I probably would have been screaming on the broadcast as well.
Give us the fill one more time.
I'll take you back to the end of Saturday's game.
Boy, the middle of the ice opened up for him. A feeder by McDonough, open. Holds, backhand shot.
Oh, it was saved by Pollock.
It is good. Like, just open mic.
I like the pause as he tries to figure out who it is. By Pollock.
Not a boy, yeah. Not a boy, Phil. So there is your Saturday edition of Michigan Monday. And we'll hear it again coming up tomorrow because we do have Game 5, Lightning Islanders tonight at 6 o'clock.